sharing it in different ways, many different ways. But it's wonderful to have some kind of sense of seasons in life. And I certainly believe we're entering into very exciting time and season. I believe we are entering into quite an exciting season for those. How many are excited? How many are expecting this year? More than last year, yeah. I've had some interesting, you know, dreams that I can share with you another time, but I believe it's kind of a year of great revelation breaking through for those who really wait on God. And, the beginning, the very first week of the year. So I think quite a few, it's kind of a holiday time, right? Some of us had a holiday and they came back. Some are still gone. But I think we are here, like, you know, die hard people worshiping God. You're here. And we want to start the year in the right note, okay? I wanted to share with you today, do you have a prayer goals? I've, sort of warned you last week about bringing together a prayer goal so that we can actually begin to seek God in a very concentrated way. Did you know that the big part of your life, probably the biggest part of your life as to where you're going to end up, apart from the will of God that is on our life, is, you know, it's not how fast you run. It's what comes out of your, it's about your desire and how you bring that into prayer, what you say. And it's good to always check our prayer life. And do you have specific prayer goals? Because we got to have a long-term goal and then medium-term goal as well. And when our prayers are kind of scattered everywhere and it's very, very out of place, it means we don't really know where we're going to go, because we will be quite scattered in terms of our focus in life. So this is a picture of a Solomon, and the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" That's a great question from God. And then he gave the right answer, right? Do you have the answer if God comes to you? I'm getting into this today because 23rd of December, while we were praying in the morning, I felt pretty clearly nudge from the Lord saying, gather the prayer goals of the people of GI, and you actually shut yourself in with me 3 days in fasting and prayer and present it before me. So I kind of warned you. So today, well, it's not warned you as a bad warning, but it's a really good warning, right? So we can actually, you can think about what your prayer goals are, instead of just saying, I need help. You actually think about and then articulate it so that when God answers your prayer, you can actually stop, pause, give thanks to God, and make it your testimony to tell others about what great things God has done. That's a very Hebraic biblical Christianity, is that they give testimony of what God had done in their life. But, you know, when we don't have prayers, we don't really ask God, we don't have clear, not shopping list prayer, clear prayer, we don't know what God had done. God is working in our lives all the time. God is blessing us all the time, keeping us all the time. But we don't really pause and say, Lord, that's what you've done. And there's a great joy when we ask God and our prayers are answered. But we also, there's a lot of growth that is really connected with praying. Praying is a dangerous thing. Many of us, many Christians are afraid to pray because they don't want to be disappointed. But part of it is really a growing process. When you begin to actually pray and ask God, you're really interacting in a serious way. When you don't pray, you're not really expecting anything. You just go with the flow. Then how do you develop relationship with God? Questions, delays to the answer. My lifestyle, what are the things in my life that is blocking my prayer? What are the things that I need to grow? See, when you begin to pray, a whole lot of questions come back to you. We face a lot of things about our inner things. You know, when you pray, you really face your heart. Is that true? That's why we rather not pray, because it's complex. My heart is complex. It's too much work to sort it out into a pretty clear set prayer life, right? So what I'm suggesting is next week, I'm going to share this teaching. It's obviously not comprehensive, but it just gives you some pointers. And then you sit down and actually sit before the Lord, ask, what are the prayer goals that will please the Lord? That is real, not just soulish, you know, I want, you know, the next upgrade of my car, that's it. No, think a little deeper of what our life is all about. And how you want to interact with God, how you want God to move in your life. What are the deeper desires? And then write it out. Because it's really good for you to do that. It's good for me to do that, good for you to do that, so that you know that God is alive. Not just coming and going, wishing things will go well. But there is a real progress, real relationship. So next week, you don't have to do this. You know, I actually thought about it in all my Christian life. I've never actually had a pastor come here and say, I'm going to pray for you 3 days, you know, in fasting and prayer. You bring your prayer point. I'm going to really knock on the heaven's door. I've never had anyone doing that. But I'm doing it not because I'm a really nice guy. You know, the Lord put it on my heart, so I have to obey him, right? So, no matter what, I'm going to take it seriously. I'm going to, you know, look in. It's not a long period of time, 3 days. But I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to pray through one by one. So you actually sit down and work it out and bring it next week and just put it into the offering basket as you give, as a part of worship. And then I'll pick it up, collect it. I'm going to go through over and over. 3 days, I'm going to just lock myself in GI Hope and pray, but don't give me shopping list prayer, right? Just, you know, oh Lord, I forgot to do the grocery. Give it to me next week, kind of. If you're not going to pray for it, don't give it to me. I'm not going to, it's not like, you know, I'm doing all the heavy lifting. I'm not a genie. Your pastor is not a genie. Like, you know, this is what my shopping list, my wish list, I give it to him, so let him, you know, get it for me. No. This is, what is your life all about? What do you want to see God doing in your life? How do you see God? What kind of breakthroughs do you need? What are the things that are holding your spiritual life back? You can identify. And then what I'm doing is I'm praying with you. Because you're going to pray. Because if you don't pray, and then I've just done my part, I don't think it would be much good anyway. So I don't want to read kind of, you know, just anyway, whatever you read, I would like you to think through, right? So that you're serious. So yeah, we can see. What I would like to see is I would like to see breakthroughs in your life, in my life. And we want to see testimony multiply this year. Like what God had done. This one, I couldn't do it. But God did it. This is what was holding me back for years. But I saw the breakthrough. And you don't have to write down the whole everything, yeah. But just, you know, yeah. And you don't have to write down all your secret sins or all the skeletons in your closet. Just, anyway, so we're going to do that. I'm going to set aside 23rd to 25th. Because I'm going to have a week of break. Next week, I'll just have my own personal time prayer. But I'm going to have a week of break when I come back. we'll pray. But if you don't put anything, that's fine. It's, you know, less work for me. But if you do want me to join in agreement with you, we'll do that. Amen? Hallelujah? Yeah? Okay. That's great, yeah? Now, as soon as we say, I'm going to pray, you know, you, this is a universal weakness of mankind. You're weak and I'm weak. And that's mankind, ever since the fall, we have problem knowing what to pray for. That's why I'm doing this. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, with everybody, every Christian, I've never seen or met any Christian who openly says, I actually don't need to pray. Everybody goes, yeah, of course I'm going to pray. We need to pray more, or we need to pray harder, we need to pray more consistent, we need to pray. You actually sit down and say, okay, open your mouth and let's pray. How many of you say, I really want to pray, there's a lot of desire. You sit down and you're trying to pray. where do I begin? Right? We have problem knowing what to pray for and how to pray for. What is the right kind of prayer? So, Holy Spirit's role really is to help us to pray. That's one of the big roles in Romans 8, isn't it? We don't know what we are to ask for. So the Spirit helps our weakness. This is your weakness. This is my weakness. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. So the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Often we pray for the things that are inconsequential. And just identifying what's important, that in itself is a huge spiritual breakthrough. Amen? Because as we walk along and grow older, you know that stuff that we thought was so important when we were in 20s are not really that important. In teens or, you know, things that thought, ah, oh, this is so important. And we find out, oh, no, that's not what I want at all. What I want, what I really need, what I really ought to pray for changes. So we get a little bit wisened up. Problem is, there's a Korean, you know, proverbs. When you wisen up enough to know how to live for, or what to live for, how to live, it's time for you to graduate and to go home. So, really, clarifying your prayer really gets you there, right? Amen. All right, so this is the passage I just want to bring before you. Solomon. Remember Solomon? He offered God 1,000 burnt offerings. So that's a lot of offerings. Each one with a bull, you know. Imagine you come 1,000 prayer meetings. That won't cost you that much. Prayer meeting doesn't cost you anything, but 1,000 sacrifice of, you know, going before God, or 1,000 worship, you know, offering unto God. And then Lord appeared in a dream to Solomon, and the Lord said, ask, let's read together, ask, what shall I give you? That's a solemn moment. It's, you know, we all have Heavenly Father. God asks you, what shall I give you? Do you know what you're going to ask for? This is where, again, a lot of Christians, we need to get clarification to really grow. And this is what Solomon said. He's, as a young boy, you know, da-da-da-da-da, the reason, the long reason. And then he says, give to your servant me an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. And let's read together. The speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked these things. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked the riches for yourself, nor have asked life of your enemies, see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, and I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. That's something to think about, really. When God appears to you, what shall I give you? Often the first thing you're saying, you are wishing for, it may not be the right answer. Those three things are what a lot of people wish for. Long life. Think about long life. Healthy long life. That's, you know, like the elixir of heaven. Every culture is looking for elixir of life. Yeah? And then riches. How many have, you know, why is the lottery so famous? Like, people know that you lose money. Chance is everybody loses money. But everybody plays. It's just the feeding their hope of one day getting rich. You know, it really drives so many people, so many, you know, rich and the poor to get a little richer. It really is the prayer in the heart for many, even though they may be, many may be comfortable. And then, man, life of the enemy, don't we have internal dialogue? Oh, vindication. You may not be asking God, bring it in prayer, but there is an ongoing conversation. Why do you think God appeared in a dream to Solomon and asked this? God could have sent a prophet, okay, you take your time, 3 days, you come back to me and give it to me. Or God could appear in a vision, and then, like, you know, what do you want? Now, when you suddenly get hit with this question, it really exposes our heart. You have to think very fast, right? God is saying, what do you want? What shall I give you? Solomon didn't fall into that, and he asked for wisdom for his people, for his kingdom, and that pleased the Lord. Why do you, what happens in a dream is that in a dream, your frontal lobe isn't fully functioning. They're put into sleep. So you're less driven by, you know, what you know cognitively is the right answer. It's more about your instinct, your subconsciousness, your heart actually reacting. So whatever was the heart's desire that was running behind the sin at the back of your mind actually comes up. And what Solomon really asked for, he asked for God's kingdom and then his role, his part. How can I do my part for your kingdom so that your people can prosper, your kingdom can, your name can truly be glorified and exalted? And that really pleased the Lord. And then he got the riches and wisdom as well as honor. He's got the whole package, right? So that means that if God was really pleased with this answer, there is a great asking, there is a good asking, there is not so good asking, and then there is a great asking. We can really spend a lot of our time, Christian life, wishing for something. And that, when you get it, may not be worth that much. You may not want it. But if you are wise, you are going to actually pause and think about what I really want from God. Because God is actually asking from heaven as a father, what do you want? What do you want? Many of us, many Christians don't have the right focus. But he asked the right thing. Ask something that pleases God, and he's got the rest. That's a great asking, right? Solomon asked, Lord, I want to be really rich. God would have granted it, and that would be it. And a lot of people can't handle riches without wisdom, right? Not that you will lose money. You can have more money, but have less life. So life is far more than the things. It really is. It's about inner reality in God. And of course, the things are not false. That's also real. But it has a limited value. Our life is far more than that. So then, what will you say to God? If God says, what do you want? Do you know what you want? If God actually appears to you in a dream, what will come out of your heart? God! When you are not free to do all the calculation and then give biblical answer, but you're in a dream, and then whatever in your heart comes out. See? What do you want from God? So then is there a cheat sheet? Like, you know, is there a moral prayer for us to get some sort of, you know, when you're in an exam, you have a textbook, right, answer, and get it in, at least get that into some sort of model. I want to say, yeah, let's look at the Lord's Prayer. So I want us to look at the Lord's Prayer. And what I'm saying is, don't write the Lord's Prayer back next week. I will pray through the Lord's Prayer for you. Don't just write Lord's Prayer. Use it as a model, as some sort of structure for you to pin your prayer, your target, what you want from God, in a big picture of context, so that it's actually in the right framework. Your thinking is in the right framework. What are you going to do if God blesses you? What does that mean, material blessing or provision blessing or healing or whatever? What does that mean when you get delivered? Where is the end goal? How does my life fit together for the rest? So that's why I'm going to share this. So let's read, yeah. Now it came to pass, Luke 11, verse 1 to 4. It says, now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, we all know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was the prayer that Jesus taught us. Now, that is not, we call it Lord's Prayer, not because Jesus was praying that, because some of the sentences there is very inappropriate for Jesus to pray. For example, Jesus shouldn't be praying, and won't need to pray at all, forgive us our sins, right? There's no sin in his life. Jesus doesn't need to say, deliver us from evil. The devil, he's talking about the devil. The devil will pray, Father, deliver me from Jesus. Right? Don't cast me out into the, you know, bottomless, you know, pit before time. Why have you come, you know, oh, thou Holy One of God, right? They're running. So Jesus is telling, this is how you ought to pray, this is what you need. And he gives us framework. We can parrot these prayers good. I mean, when I was growing up in Korea, before every service was over, we sang that, Our Father. And we tried to sing it, like, you know, as strong as possible. It became kind of a, you know, but when you actually pray, you don't pray that. You know, Lord, you know, help me with my exam. Next, you know, Friday is maths exam. Father, my teacher said, if you get less mark than last time, you know, you will get hit, you know, every mark. I mean, he literally did that. Oh, my goodness. Terrible. Nowadays, they will go to jail, right? They lose a license to teach. But in those days, they did. They could do that. Teacher had absolute power. My. So I prayed, Lord, help me to get more mark, not less. That was my prayer, but none of those. So let's look at it. This is what Jesus sees that we need. And you can actually see a lot of things that we pray for may be missing. This is what we need, not what we think we need. So when you actually want something, at least put it on that and see how it fits together. All right. Let's just go through. Address our Father in heaven. And then you can break down that prayer into three parts and then three parts, double of the three. I've taught this some years ago in this church. It says, first one, petition one is hallowed be your name. Petition two is your kingdom come. Petition three is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you see, it's all about your. Is it, who is you? God. That comes first. And then comes the next one, our. Petition A, give us day by day our daily bread. And then petition B, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us or sin against us. Petition C, do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the devil. And in the Matthew's gospel, there is one more line. It's, you know, address and then doxology. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You don't have to follow this prayer pattern, but there's a beautiful pattern, very well balanced when you pray. In fact, you can spend, you know, quite a good chunk of time praying this. It says address is really important. Because when we pray, he's saying, God that we are addressing to, just never forget that he's our Father. He's our Father. Just that one cry really sets the tone of prayer. Because Jesus came and said, Father, Daddy. It really made a lot of religious people angry. When you pray, you're not saying, a lot of people say, dear God, that's fine. And then some people are afraid to also say Jesus. I don't know why. Some Christians don't want to call Jesus dear God, dear God. That God has a name. It's Jesus, his Father. And when you talk to Father, it's very different talking to your boss. Many of us are wired to talk to God like a boss. So you're trying to really butter him up with all kinds of things and butter him up more. You're talking to Father. When you go to the Father, you just go, you know. If your Father is in the office, you just open the door and go right in. Right? Because Father is predisposed to favor you, no matter what. So that we come in that space, oh man, I'm really favored. Really favored. And we go into, we talk to the Father. And then he said, Father is in heaven. So he's talking about how highly lifted God is. So this is really important. Get a picture of big God, highly exalted over everything else. Because when we don't really see that elevation, in heaven is really elevation, not distance. God is not so far away from me, he will hardly hear what... No, he's saying he's lifted above everything. Heaven is a higher realm altogether. There is no time in heaven. He sees past, present, and future. He's right there, and he's saying, Father, you are highly exalted. As soon as you say that, you see God so big, so favoring, our prayer actually goes through and get to God. If our view is of God is so small and God is really angry, he's not interested, our prayer just drips off our chin and then drops to the ground. We really don't expect anything. So our Father in heaven is the opening. And then the first petition is actually God's name. Right? Hallowed be your name. Let your name... What is God's name? God's attribute. God's holy nature. It's really about the holiness of God. And your name, God's reputation, be honored. So the first one, let's think about God's reputation. Let's set aside my reputation for a little while. What I want, just focus on, Lord, your name be exalted highly. It's the eternal nature of God. You know, who is God? What is God like is all in his name, isn't it? God revealed who he is, what he is like, through his name. Okay. And the next one is in God's kingdom. Let your kingdom come. It's God's rule. God's kingdom is where his rule is made effective in our lives. So Lord, let your kingdom come. Jesus, come back, but also let your rule be full in my life. This is a really big one. Let your kingdom come. And that's really linked to your will be done. It's God's will. How we all want God's will to be done in our lives. But God's will is done in our life as we are obedient to God's rule. So this is, we can look in, what are the areas that I persistently resist God, therefore the will of God is delayed. Somebody was taken to heaven and said, you know, after being in heaven and come back to earth, he died actually, went to heaven, but God sent him back, unfortunately to him, because he had the stuff to do, and he said, I come on earth, it's so slow, earth, everything's so slow and so stale, so like, you know, black and white, it's no color, it's so slow. But Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are to pray for God's will to be speedily done in our life. So that's my prayer. I'm really excited. Lord, let your will speedily done, speed up in our lives as it is done in heaven. But that is really connected with, is God king in our lives? Because we can pray and then persistently really don't care about obeying the words of Jesus at all in certain parts of our lives. We don't really. So this prayer really establishes God's rule and then allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. This is a good prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, what are the areas of my persistent resistance to your rule and reign? And let that be taken out and allow God's will to flow into our lives. Isaiah 33 verse 22 says, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. How is God saving us from every situation we are in? You allow God to be the king, the lawgiver, and the judge. And God's salvation comes speedily. Amen. God is always the savior. But sometimes we... anyway, yeah. So, on earth, everything, Lord, let it be done. Yeah, this is allowing God's kingdom to come in our life, be extended in our life. That's also, you know, condition for God's self-disclosure. God says, I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to manifest myself to those who really obey my word. Right? Jesus is the king. If Jesus is the king and we are good subject in his kingdom, his will is done. And the king is so comfortable, he wants to come into your house, into my house, and reveal, disclose, unveil his power, his glory, his riches. Amen? Yeah. So this is an important part of prayer. Somehow, I find probably last 20, 30 years in the church that we so focus on theology of what God had done sometimes. And it is very important. Everything, the Word of God is important, but we have to hold a lot of truth of the Word of God in attention. That we actually forget parts of allowing, you know, kingdom of God to literally work in our heart. Okay? Amen. I think I better not harp on this. Next one is that our daily need, and thank God there is a physical need there, our daily bread. And then forgiving, there's relational needs. We have a relational needs ever since the fall. And then we have a spiritual needs, deliverance from the evil. So physical needs is everything that we need. Now, we live in a day and age, you open the fridge, you got all the food. So we don't pray that prayer anymore. But we still should. Should thank you, Lord, for the food. We got plenty, tons of food. But thank you, it comes from you. We're going to acknowledge God. It comes from God. Build gratitude every day, if you got enough. For the people who don't, they should be praying. And in fact, it's our. When we thank God for our food, before you eat the meal, we can pause and thank you that this food comes from your hand. It's really important, spiritual health. And Lord, there are those in China and Africa who need their daily food. Father, take a moment to pray that you do something through my prayer. As I eat in gratitude, Father, will you supply for their needs? Okay, how healthy it is for Christians to simply pray this. We can have so much food, but grumble, like, the food is not much good anyway, and it costs this much, and not enough, or, bad cooking, or too much salt, too much pepper, too much this and that. And it's just very unhealthy, spiritually. But it also, I believe, our physical need comes in there for our physical healing as well. We should be praying for that. Because Jesus said, the physical healing is our children's bread. So we should be praying for the physical healing. We can pray for our needs, jobs. If you're running a business, you can pray for the right business contact, the door, and the clients and everything. Should be praying for all that. Even though God knows it, God wants us to bring all our physical daily needs and talk to God, and then ensure that God's hand of blessing is there, because you are, as you pray, what are you doing? You're acknowledging God in everything that you engage in, your job in the morning. Christians ought to be praying for your job, not just for your pay rise, but for the people in your job, your situations and people. Because as we leave, we got a lot of people to forgive in your job, right? A lot of people to forgive stuff, people who step on your back to get ahead. You gotta pray. People who don't respond right. And this is a daily prayer. I find that we actually, longer I live, I find daily I need to pray this. Because it's very challenging to have an unoffended heart as we walk with God and serve God and engage in some sort of, ministry that actually means something to God. Devil's not going to leave you alone. He will use, usually, people. And we need to stay clear in forgiveness. And it's always good prayer. Jesus shed his blood for us already. But we pray, Lord, forgive us our sins, the daily sins that I sin. Because Jesus had given us a bath, but Jesus also wants our daily washing of the feet. We pick up the dust on a daily basis as we live, as we interact with this world. Stuff gets onto us. You see the ads, or you see stuff, things are said, hear things and see things, and we need to just wash them off. He says, Lord, Father, forgive our sins. We know when we ask this, answer is 100% always yes. As it's the same thing, we already know we got enough food. We pray, still pray, because that really gets into the right relationship with God. And then we pray, Lord, forgive. And then as we forgive those who sin against us, that is so healthy. Just praying that on a daily basis, we really get us somewhere. I'm teaching in the Bible college, and as soon as just the last two sessions, just open the forgiveness issue. Oh man, all these Bible college students. You can hear the hissing and the heavy breathing. There's so much stuff. We pick up. I mean, me too, right? I might have been fine, last year. I'm not fine this year. I've got to deal with it. I might have been fine last month. I'm not fine this month. I'm really angry. Got to deal with it. And make sure that there is no blockages of forgiveness, because Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, if you want to keep an open heaven, after he teaches, he actually turns back and saying, look, if you don't forgive anyone, the power of your sin holds you. You're not forgiven. Now, that is a big thing for Jesus to say. I mean, Jesus just said some really hard things, but he's saying that unless we forgive, or we are willing to forgive, we're willing to tear up, I owe you not, and let it go, there will be things in your heart that will hold you back from experiencing God in a full measure. So you want to get out of the jail? Pray daily, because it's not a one-day thing. I forgave, you know, somebody said, in a married relationship, she said, you know, wife is getting angry again. Husband said, well, you know, we dealt with it yesterday. You forgave me. And she said, that was yesterday. It's today. it can go both ways, right? I can say to you, I forgive you today. But 1 month later, I may be seething again inside. And I have to forgive again. So it's a daily thing. But if we can keep our heart unoffended, oh my goodness. See, that is really connected to the kingdom rule. Jesus is saying, if we are not walking in forgiveness, kingdom of God is not effective in your life. In fact, you can see, very interesting, daily bread, all our physical needs, whatever you receive from God's name. Who God is, right? You need healing, it's Jehovah Rapha. When you need provision, Jehovah Jireh. God revealed himself through his word, through his name. And through his name we receive all things. And God's kingdom, the key of God's kingdom is forgiveness. And God's kingdom and God's will are really connected. So, forgiveness and deliverance are so connected. Often we are not delivered after long prayer because we refuse to. Not struggling to forgive is okay, but when we refuse to forgive, the demon's not going to leave you. And I find I'm in a lot of prayer meeting. I don't hear a lot of prayer. People praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is not just the evil, as I said, this is the devil. This is the work of Satan. And I find that I actually need this prayer. Because you're not going to overcome your temptation until you ask God's help. It's only Jesus inside of you that can deal with temptations and demons. Christians who don't pray, because I'm supposed to be already powerful enough. My theology says I've got everything. Don't really walk it out unless you make it real in prayer. And so much of the will of God, sometimes years are resisted. It's so slow because we need deliverance in some areas of our lives, right? We need deliverance. So we pray, Abba Father, Father, deliver me from this evil, from this oppression, this demonic power that is at work in my life, demonic force that are resisting the will of God, demonic things, oppression, fear, you know, many things. So after that, everything now is in our, whenever you pray, you think about my need in all these areas. It's all our. So each of these prayers, you can actually launch into intercession for others as well. See, when you say, Lord, help me, I forgive. Actually, I know a friend who is struggling to forgive. Lord, help him. Help me and help him. Lord, deliver me. from, you know, too much eating. As soon as I see food, I cannot resist. You know, the ice cream that I bought, man, I can't just hold off. But I know that sister or that brother, Lord, deliver me from temper. So we can pray, but we can pray for others as well. Daily bread, yeah, others as well. It's all about our. So when I pray for myself, you know, that your most personal prayer, your most personal issues that you can't talk to anyone about is also most universal problem. Everybody experiences what you're experiencing, right? We just can't talk about it much. We can bring it into prayer. It's all about our, so that we get united. For yours is the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. We bring it all back to God. What is it for? For his kingdom. For his power. It's not about me. It's about him. Now that really pleases. Jesus actually taught, thank God, taught concrete prayer so we can model our prayer life into it. Now, where is the most Christians' prayer? Now, there are six areas that are given. First three really focused on God. And then last three really focused on our needs. Where do most Christians pray reside? 80% of prayer. Daily bread, yeah. What I need, what I want. So, it's not wrong. It's good. Daily bread, my job, my, you know, my guidance, or your, where is your will, Father? Should I pick up the blue bottle or the red bottle? Should I take this job or that job? Right? It's like taking 90% of our mind. What I need, like, you know, this day. What I want. It's okay. It's fine. But it's a very small portion. It's a very, very narrow area. In fact, it's the weakest area of prayer. There are greater actual needs that we have, human needs, your need and my need, that we are not aware of, that we are not praying for. That makes us very unhappy as Christians, because we are not praying and covering these important areas. So you can think through, just think through that. Now, let's say we are, your prayer is provision, because most people, I mean, you know, in my Christian life and Christian ministry, most people's prayer, they come and, you know, give you the prayer needs. It's about 80% here, really. Very few people come and, I've got this special prayer needs. I really need to forgive someone. Very few. I've never, or I, you know, deliverance. Some, it's coming in. Mostly it's what I want from God as physical things, the job, the food, the job, promotion, the house, the, you know, where to move, what to buy. Now, if you just stay here and don't think about the whole thing, what does that gonna do to you? What is it gonna do to you? Is that a good prayer? I think so. Is it an excellent prayer? No. Is it a great prayer that gets you all other things? No. Have I seen, including myself, I ask God's blessing and he blesses me and I backslide with the blessing almost straight away because I don't see how that prayer needs is connected to the bigger picture of what God's will is for my life, God's kingdom, God's name, and how that's also related to my relationship and spiritual needs. And it's just so narrow that when you get it, it really doesn't end up glorifying God. When you have a, so when I get it, how is God going to be glorified? No, you can ask for anything. You can ask for, you know, pay rise. I've been praying for pay rise before when I was working, and God blessed me with good pay rise as well. Mia prayed for pay rise. She got good, you know, better job and all that. But how does that further God's plan and purpose for my life? See, when you connect that dot, That's going to help you. It's going to move you forward. And it's not disconnected, disjointed Christian life. Sometimes you're hoping for a big thing. And so, does our prayer list have the correct framework for God's priority? How does prayer for provision fit into a big picture? Now, if we don't think what we are praying for and just be myopic in our prayer life, I get this and that's it. I get my chocolate and I'm going to run, enjoy my chocolate from God. Israelites did that. Israelites, God delivered them from Egypt. God blessed them. Their sandals didn't grow weary. Their sandals actually grew with their feet growing. Isn't that amazing? You came with a tiny little five-year-old sandals. 20 years later, the sandals are big, and it's still the same. All the grits are still there, right? The thong, the straps don't come off. You grow with your clothes, grow with you, right? None of you are sick. I mean, and they have food to spare. But this is what God says. God said this. He gave them their request. It was basically saying the last, what they lasted after. They're saying, God, I want meat. I don't just want, you know, the bread, carbohydrates. I want protein. They're crying out and God gave it to them. But then, let's read together. Leanness into their soul. Is it possible for us as Christians, we ask God and receive what we pray for, but inside, we actually go poorer, lean, not fat, not richer, because we don't see big picture, big picture. So this is why I'm saying you think about what you want to really pray for this year and bring that prayer. Now, I got a few minutes. Let's read the next few, you know, slide, two slides or three slides, just to encourage us. Having said that, because that's very important, right? Your prayer tells more about who you are than your Bible study teaching. You will know who I am a lot more from hearing my prayer than my preaching. I can put the notes and preach. Not so, you know, whether... not so good, but still, I can do stuff, but you will not know my heart as much as when you hear me pray. And Jesus, let's say, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. But I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give it to you as many as he needs. Actually, I think I need to stop because we got a communion. But I want you to think about it, yeah? Persistence. It's not... in the end, you know what? You're going to end up with what your heart really desires in your life. It really is the case. I might, you know, share the next really encouraging bits about prayer. Really, really encouraging. But may the Lord fill you with wisdom, because this is getting the right button. May the Lord fill you and me, us, that we're going to not pray good. We're going to pray great this year. Amen. Amen. And our prayer will please God and release his blessing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get Frederick to come and lead us into communion. But also Michael has, Jan and Michael, you've got the paper. You can just hand them out. You can take them and use that paper to, you know, write things down, or prayer request paper, or testimony paper. You don't have to use that paper. You can use your own paper. You can, as many as you want, you can bring it back next week. Okay? Thank you.